All right, if you would, turn with me to Nehemiah 9, and we'll just be highlighting a number of things in there this morning, Nehemiah 9. And in relationships, do any of you, I know that some of you are on the young side. Can you guys remember at a time when you were in that dating scenario? You know, where you were, maybe you weren't with somebody yet, but you were thinking, I want to meet someone to settle down with and get married to, and you start dating, you start doing different things, and you try to win people over to you, or a person to you. And one of the things that we discover in relationships is that we want something out of them. In all of our relationships, we want to receive something out of our relationships, for right or for wrong. You know, whether it's we don't want to be lonely, you know, so we want someone to be present with us, or we want, you know, some of us are anxious and we want someone who's not, so we want some stability from somebody. Ladies, sometimes you're just trying to think, how do I get my husband to clean up after himself? You know, I just want cleanliness to happen. And careful, don't laugh too much, ladies, because you want that to happen. And when these benefits, these mutual benefits, aren't happening, then there begins to be a strain on the relationship, doesn't there? I mean, whenever relationships get sour or ends, it ends because I don't want them to be doing, right? Isn't doing whatever it is. Or they are doing what I don't want them to be doing, right? It's because the benefits have grown cold. And so we try to figure out in the relationship how to make sure that these benefits are taking place, don't we? And ladies would love guys to be cleaning up the house, or they would love for guys to be more romantic or bring flowers or whatever. And guys, all we care about is one thing. We just want her to spend time with us, that's all. Right? That's all that guys want. They just want quality time. They don't want anything else than that. You know, just sitting here talking, that's it. They just want quality time, right? Am I right on that? No, I heard someone say no. Guys, they have a benefit that they want in a relationship. And you know what's interesting, guys? And this will hold true for you ladies, too, that are trying to get, whether it's romance or cleanliness or whatever it is. There are all kinds of books out there and videos and instructions and trainings on how to get the most out of your relationship, right? How can I get that guy to shape up? How can I get her to spend some quality time with me? And then they begin to jump through all the hoops, don't we? Haven't you done that before? You've jumped through all the right hoops of trying to make sure that you get out of a relationship what we want to get out of it. Have you ever jumped through all the hoops and then nothing? Nothing. Like, ladies, have you ever spent quality time with your husband whenever he wanted to spend quality time with you? Ladies, have you ever just been sweet and understanding and respectful and you just thought he was amazing in everything that you did and said, and then the next day you walked through the house and you saw the mess was still left all around and you're thinking, why did I do all that stuff? He's not going to clean up after himself. And guys, same thing. You're romantic, you bought flowers, you were nice, you cleaned up, you did all the right things and still no quality time. And we're frustrated sometimes in our relationships, aren't we? Because it's supposed to be mutually beneficial, right? And I think that sometimes we feel that strain in our relationship with the Lord. Where I thought that if I prayed and obeyed and did different things, then I would receive certain benefits from him. And though we feel like it's not really right to complain, it's not really right because we know he went to the cross for us, right? He did so much for us. How dare I complain about what I'm not receiving now? But deep down in our hearts, there are times that we feel like God is not being beneficial to me. I'm going through this valley. I'm hurting. My body's breaking down. I'm lacking on resources. Where is God in the midst of this? And the reason why we're frustrated is because we naturally, instinctively believe that relationships are mutually beneficial. And so we're looking at God and asking, where's the benefit? Some of you know relatives that either are or are not serving God, and you hear them saying, what's the benefit of following the Lord? And you know what's sad? When have you ever walked into a dating relationship and said, you know, I would like to start dating you, but first I need to find out what you're going to do for me. I'd like to see how I'm going to gain in this whole thing before we start going on our first date, all right? You know, I want to see how you're going to treat me. I want to see if I'm going to get the support I'd like and the encouragement I like and the comfort I'd like and quality time in this relationship. And do you think that's going to go well? No. What do we do first in the relationship? We try to give them all the benefits that we can to try to lure them into the relationship. And I wonder, when we get frustrated with God, because again, that's when the relationship breaks down, when the benefits are not flowing mutually, I wonder when we were bringing benefits to the table for God. If the tables were turned when we're complaining that God's not doing whatever it is he's not doing, I wonder what benefits we bring to the table. Or are we just asking God to keep delivering handouts without ever bringing anything? And we might say, well, what can I bring to God? He has everything, right? Don't you hate on, have you ever had someone on your Christmas list you had to buy for and you think they have everything they want? I don't know what to buy for them, you know? And God might be that kind of same scenario where, well, what am I supposed to get for him? It's not like I have the power or the ability to give him anything that he doesn't have. And yet there is something that we have that he would like to get from us. And if we learn how to do certain things, because wouldn't you like to get a response from God that you'd like to get? Wouldn't you love for him to show up in power and in his glorious presence and feel uplifted? Wouldn't you love to have this peace that just comes rushing in and surpasses all understanding when you're feeling anxious in life that you are now? Can you love to have this power begin to be demonstrated in your life that you are now capable and doing the things that you feel like you want to, should be doing? Wouldn't you love that to start to happen in our lives? Well, the question is, what am I doing in this relationship with God? Am I just standing here asking, give me, give me, give me? Or am I bringing benefits also to this relationship? So what is it that I should be bringing to the table? Well, first, he wants us to pursue his face. And in Nehemiah, we see these things happen. We see them fasting in verse 1. We see them praying, verse 4, they cried out to the Lord. We see them worshiping, verse 5, stand up and bless the Lord. And we see them being dedicated to him. You are the Lord, you alone. He wants us to seek his face. Not just his hand. You know, because in a relationship, you know, ladies, you can tell when your husband's doing all these nice things with ulterior motives. And that's the funny thing. And guys sometimes can tell when you ladies are doing all these things just to get you to do other things. We can tell, can't we, when someone's not actually into us, but they're into getting something from us. And we need to know, are we actually seeking God because we want him or because we want him to give us something? How many of us are actually desiring Jesus and not just the benefits that he might bring to us? And so the question is, you find yourself or we find ourselves frustrated in this relationship with God because it doesn't feel mutually beneficial. And the question is, are you praying? Are we spending time praying and spending time before him? Because I'm telling you, guys, just marital advice, if you go to your wife and say, you've not been with her all day, you've not given her any attention, you've not been responsive or caring or concerned or anything, and you've been kind of a filthy slob, and you go and you say, hey, I love you, you're so beautiful. That's not going to get you anywhere if you just give her like that just 5-minute snippet of, and ladies, if you just give a peck on the cheek and say, hey, I love you, wink, wink, and you think he's going to make your house immaculate because of that, that's not going to happen. But we do this kind of thing with God all the time. Hey, God, I put K-Love on the radio when I was driving, you know, so. Or, Lord, I did go to church this week, so there is that. And I did recite the Lord's Prayer this morning, or I did read you my list. I mean, could you imagine if every time you get together with the people you care about, what your conversation was is, okay, let me get out my list here real quick. I'd like for you to give me this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And oh, by the way, can you give some stuff to those people too? And we read our list. Could you imagine the kind of relationship we would have with people? But we treat God like that all the time. We are only seeking him when we need something to happen. And then we wonder, where is God in the midst of all of these things? We need to seek him, pray, and demonstrate our passion for him by fasting. And we need to worship him. We need to sing songs of praise. Did you know that you don't need to sing songs to worship him necessarily? We can just express our love to him. We can just say why we love him and how we delight in him and give glory to his name even without the music. We don't need someone singing for us to do that. And we need, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where you just begin to well up with gratitude before God and affection for him, and you begin to express that. And if we have not or are not experiencing that, then I wonder if we truly can look up in God and say, this isn't fair. This relationship dynamic, Lord, isn't fair. And a dedication to him. That because, I don't know if you noticed, but people were coming up for prayer and different people were walking by, and I gave different gestures to them as they walked by me. And if you went that way, I didn't come running over to you to hug you because I didn't care about you. It's just because you're all the way over there. I got to be careful with that because sometimes people get upset. But anyway, I'd pat people on the shoulder, give one person a hug. And then there was this one really beautiful woman who walked back towards the end there, and I gave her a very, very full-on hug. And that person gave me a peck on the cheek. And you guys aren't all getting that same kind of hug, just so you know. Because there's a relationship dynamic between that beautiful woman back there and me that involves dedication. I have a dedication to her more so than I do to other people because of the dynamic of the relationship, and she does to me. And Jesus is supposed to be first, above our close friend, above our boss at work, above our government, above the people that are in our lives. Jesus is supposed to be first. And yet, sometimes, what kind of response is he getting from us? Are we truly dedicated to him? Or are we just wondering when he's truly beneficial? This relationship is supposed to be mutually beneficial. And if we're wondering, why isn't he doing what I'm expecting him to do, then maybe we should start doing what he expects from us. To love him, to put him first, to worship him, to pray and seek his face, and to fast, to be dedicated to him. Then we also, because it's not all just feelings, we also need to be doing his will. Because guys, you can say I love you to your wife all you want, but if you're not doing certain things in her life, she's wondering if you really do love her. If you're okay with her killing herself, cleaning up after you all the time, and dealing with your shenanigans. Any guys have shenanigans? Okay, some of you guys have little shenanigans. Okay. And she's putting up with that. At some point, you know, if you're not respectful towards her, if you're not attentive, caring towards her, at some point, even though you say the words, I love you, she's wondering, does he really love me? Especially if he finds you eyeing up other people. She's wondering, does he really love me? And wives, your husband, if you say you love your husband, but you aren't respectful and uplifting and edifying to him and showing him that you really admire him and then giving him quality time. There's codes in there all over the place. He's wondering, is she really into me? Does she really love me? And this isn't a marriage lesson, by the way, although I think there's a reason why Paul links earthly marriage to our relationship with the Lord because of its similarities. But I wonder if God is certain that we love him when we say all the words and demonstrate all the emotions, but we're not doing the things that show that we love him by doing his will. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. A demonstration that we love the Lord is not only the emotion and the affection and the expression of words, but it's actually in the doing the things. Like these people in verse 2, they separated themselves from all foreigners, which I remind you that we talked about how that's not necessarily people separation. That's this thing is affecting me and making me impure in the way that I am as a person, and I need separation from that. And so sometimes, like I've said, we need to take a break from the phone and from the media and the music and the TVs and the movies and such, because it at times it's corrupting us. And we need to see when that's happening, we need to separate ourselves from those things. Why? Because we love Jesus so much that we want to be pure before him. We do the actions that demonstrate that. We also need to, verse 3, they confessed our sins. We need to be willing to admit when we are wrong. Have you ever had an apology from somebody in which they never really admitted they did anything wrong? Have you ever had that before? You know, I'm really sorry that you are so difficult to deal with, and that's why I lost my patience. That's not an apology. What is that? You know? Although I'm sure I've been guilty of that. Any of you been guilty of that? You know, the kind of poor apology like that? We need to be able to say that was wrong. And even if you did whatever you did that tempted me to be that way, I was still wrong doing that. And the thing is we will never, if we don't ever admit that certain things are wrong, you know what we'll do? We'll keep justifying ourselves in being that way. You know, so if we keep trying to say that, you know, it's not a problem for me to look at other women, guys, then we're going to keep doing it, and probably more so. If we keep saying that it's okay to be sarcastic and rude to other people if I'm just joking around, I'm not saying you can't joke around, but if we're being a certain way that's hurting people's feelings, we need to admit whether or not that's what's happening, or we won't stop it. We'll just keep doing that. You know, if we aren't faithful to be in fellowship, in the body of Christ, serving and doing different things, if we keep saying, well, you know, I got this thing going on, because I'm telling you, and I can say this because she's not in the building right now, and I'll test this to see if she'll stream this later and watch. This is a test. I test you guys sometimes when you're not here to see if you're watching, because I'll say things about you and see if you tell me something about it later. But Joyce Ritchie, she doesn't like me talking about her, good or bad, and so I'm going to disobey her request and talk good about her while she's not here. But she drives almost an hour one way to get here. Do you know that? And she loves to. She's proud of the age that she is, which I don't remember if she's 83 or 84, though. So is 84, thank you. 84 years old, and she drives an hour one way to get here to be with us. And then on Tuesdays, once a month, she drives an hour to be a part of the board meeting. And then she drives here for other things. She drives across of her lack of ability. It doesn't go to Bethel that she goes and helps out with different things because of her lack of abilities. She leads connection groups. She's just here often. And then there's people that like live just down the road that are much younger and have a lot fewer aches, and they say, well, I don't know if I can do that, you know, can we get up that early? I don't know, you know, take so much time to do that. And yet there's people that no matter what the aches, pains, challenges are, they keep doing the stuff. And we can keep trying to say, well, and justify ourselves and say, well, I don't need to be this picture of who God describes the way I'm supposed to be because I have this and that. Let's stop giving excuses for ourselves And let's just start, because that's where growth will come in, is if we stop, because if we keep excusing ourselves, we're not going to grow. We have to just stop and say, you know what, I'm lazy. You know what, I'm not very loving. I'm not very attentive. I'm not interested. I'm not, what it, just admit it. We need to admit it. Because the more we start to admit it, something's going to start to change when we confess our sins. We need to do his will. Verse 7, the reason why Abraham was called was because God found his heart to be faithful. That's why he was called. And then the people here in 37, 38 begin to respond to God, and they said, we are in great distress because of all of this. We make a firm covenant with you. They decided to be committed to the Lord. What are you doing that's demonstrating that you're committed to Jesus Christ? What can we point to and say, there is an explanation of how I know I'm committed to Jesus Christ? What is it that we do that demonstrate our commitment to Jesus Christ? Because we can say that we're faithful and we love Jesus, but the proof is in the pudding. Isn't that the saying, the proof is in the pudding? The proof is in our action. Show that we love the Lord. And then we also need to be submitted to the Bible. Verse 14 says, you made known to them the law, the Israelite laws. All of the things that they are describing happened to them was to drive them to submit to the laws of God. 34 and 35, our fathers have not kept your law or paid attention to your commandments and your warnings, even amid your great goodness and the large and rich they did not. What does God want from us? Obedience. Doesn't Jesus point out in quoting the prophets, what is better than sacrifice? Obedience is better than sacrifices. So we might say, well, I don't have money. No, I don't have talents that I think can see. I don't have an intellect to offer. Whatever it is that we think we don't have to offer, there's one thing we do to have to offer, and that's to obey him. Whatever he tells us to do in his word, we submit and we obey him. And yet here we are saying, God, I don't feel this relationship is mutually beneficial here because you're not doing what I'm asking you. You're not moving in my life like I'm expecting you to move in my life. And then I wonder, though, if we stop and evaluate ourselves, did that mutual benefit go cold because God stepped back? Or is it possibly because we stepped back? He kept loving on us, giving us, moving in our lives. And where were we? There was no obedience coming from us, no sacrifice, no affection and worship being poured out to him and time. That better? Hello? Testing. So, thanks, Charlie. We need to truly examine when we want to start complaining. Now listen, that doesn't mean we don't express what we're frustrated about with God. But while we're doing it, we need to actually be honest and look at ourselves and say, am I being mutually beneficial to him? And you know what the amazing thing is about the Lord? Is that he loves us more purely than anybody else can love. And I love that the scriptures say that when we are faithless, he remains faithful. And we see that fingerprints all throughout this chapter as well as they recount the ways that they strayed from God, and yet he kept bringing them in. He kept taking care of things. God kept being faithful because love does not demand things in return. And I think that's hard for some of us to realize. And that's such a difficult dance to do because we're supposed to be obedient. We're supposed to do certain things, and God expects that of us. And yet at the same time, it says that by grace we were saved, and this not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. We don't need to do anything to earn God's love. And we know that humanly. Because there are people, I don't know if you've ever had those times where someone was serving you, loving you. Why are they loving me? And you didn't offer them anything. Why are they loving me like this?
Or maybe we've had that where someone was loving on us and we were horrible to them before that. And we're wondering, why is this person loving on me like this? Because that's what love is. Love is the person, I don't know if you've ever heard the stories of married couples when one person begins to go downhill very poorly and they don't have anything left to offer the other person because of where their mind went and where their body went. And there's horrible stories of spouses that leave their spouse in that time of need. Why? Because they're not receiving anything from that person. But then there's wonderful stories of spouses that stand by their husband, their wife, though they're not receiving anything in return. Why? Because that's what love is. And we serve a Lord who wants to give us his love while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Even when we aren't performing, even when we aren't offering, even when we aren't interested, even when we don't have the passion, there is the Lord still in the midst of us wanting to love on us. And that's hard to receive, isn't it? Because we feel like I need to pray harder then. You know, I need to try harder. And yes, we need to obey. Yes, we need to seek him. But we need to remember, because I can't tell you how I've had numerous conversations with people who have said to me, I don't feel like he can love me because of what I've done. That's not love. And some of us need to, and some of you need to hear this today, because you have whatever it is you're dealing with. The Lord loves you, and he wants you, and he wants to bless you, and he wants to take care of you, even though you are the mess that you are. And all we need to do is step into his presence and accept and receive what he wants to give us, which is, he wants to give us his love. The Lord chose Abram. He wanted Abram. And he does the same thing for us. We are, Peter says, the chosen race. He gives us hope. Verse 8, made with him the covenant to give the land. You have kept your promise, for you are righteous. Anything God has promised us, he will deliver. It may take some time. It may take some energy. But at some point, he is going to deliver if he promised to give that. And we can receive that hope if we have him and we let him work that in our lives. In verse 9, you saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt. He sees, which means that he is going to be there in the midst of that doing something. God provides comfort. And I don't know, can you raise your hands to say you've been at breaking points before and the Holy Spirit showed up and comforted you like no other? And I've been dealing with some ups and downs of late. Have you ever had seasons in your life where, like, this is going great? At the same time, this isn't that great. But this is good. It's happening at the same time, and your emotions kind of go up and down with it. And anytime I've been down and I started seeking the Lord, he comforted me and brought that right back up. And that's the benefit that he wants to give us, free of charge. No working on our part to have it, just to let him love on us. Verse 33, you have been righteous in all that has come upon us. You have dealt faithfully, and we have acted wickedly. He forgives us. He forgives us in a way that nobody else, no human being can. Completely, what does the Bible say? He's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. He can interact with us as if it never happened. That's the benefit that he gives us. And you don't need to pray hard enough. You don't need to obey hard enough. You don't need to become a qualified individual to be able to receive that. That's all there, free for the taking. However, and this is the weird dynamic of the relationship, and I was praying about this and trying to think, how do I explain this dance that we're in? And that is that if we show up, because here's the thing, if you've ever been in a mutually beneficial, loving relationship, if you go into that relationship just trying to get what you want to get out of it, doesn't matter how flawless you perform, you will never truly receive the benefits you're after. You never will. Because they will know at some point, because the moment the benefit's gone and you pull back, they will know you were there for the benefit. That's why you were there. But love says that I'm here because I want this person. If they do or they don't give me benefit, doesn't matter. I love them. Perhaps no relationship captures that more than a relationship between a parent and their child. Some of you have children that have been difficult. Some of you have adult children that have been wayward or still wayward. And yet you still will do anything for that child. Why? Because you're going to gain something from them? No, because you love them. And that's the weird dance, is that we can do all the right things and not receive any of the benefits because we just want the benefits, not the person. And yet if we go in, only flying in and caring at all about the benefits, you know what happens? All the benefits come flying in and away like they never could if we truly loved the person. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Again, this dance is difficult to truly understand. I don't need to do anything to earn the love of God. And yet I need to give him my everything in order to truly experience the fullness of that. And there are so many rich benefits that Jesus has for me, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that love that's incomprehensible, this power, this comfort, the provisions are all there for our taking to have the benefit of. But the only way we can truly know it to the fullest extent is to come after Jesus without any expectation of receiving any of it. And that's hard to do. To truly be pure before Jesus and just want him, and yet bank on that he's going to give me the peace and the comfort and the provision and the strength and all of those things. And worship team, you could begin to lead us in whatever you feel led to. You're in this relationship with the Lord. What does it look like? Is it strained? Are you not feeling it? Is it dry, lacking of passion? And why has it dried up? Why is the relationship lacking passion? Is it because you stopped being with the Lord? Is it because you stopped seeking him? Is it because you stopped serving him and obeying him? Is it because you stopped loving him? You weren't in a relationship with him. You were just doing a transaction. You were just trying to gain something. And you realize today, you know what? I can see why the Lord's not been felt by me, because I've not been seeking him. And if that's you this morning, then as they begin to lead us, find a place at this altar and lay your life down before him and express to him, Lord, I'm here because I want you. But the question is, why is it that you're here this morning? Why is it that you open that book that we call a Bible? Why is it that you spend time praying? Is it truly because we want Jesus? Or is it because we want to be comforted? Do we truly want to be with Jesus? Or do we want empowered? Do we truly want Jesus? Or do we want peace? An alleviation of our stress and our anxiety. Do we truly want Jesus, or do we want someone to take care of our bills and our financial well-being? Do we truly want Jesus, or do we want someone to take care of all of our relationship issues? Do we want Jesus, even if we don't have anything else? Jesus says those who seek to gain their lives will lose it, but those who are willing to lose their lives will gain it. Do you want Jesus this morning? Or is there something else that you want? So as they lead us, come and seek him if you are feeling the conviction of the Spirit here. What do you do when you mess this thing up? And you realize that you have shortcomings and you're falling short before the Lord. The answer isn't to try to make yourself feel guilty about it. The answer is, then just start doing whatever it is you weren't doing. So if you realize I've not been seeking the Lord the way I need to seek him, you know what the answer is? Start seeking him. I've not been reading his word. You know what the answer is? Just start doing it. We don't need to like have this great build up, because that's the great thing with God. When we blow it with a person, we really have to work double time to make it up and try to get things right with them. But with God, you just start fresh every time. But we just have to start doing it. So start seeking Him. Start fasting. Start reading His Word. Start getting in fellowship. Start sharing your faith with others. Start living a righteous life before Him. Start obeying. Start doing the things. Start serving. That's the answer. Just start doing it. And I'm telling you, He does not wait till we're perfected before all of a sudden all those benefits start showing up. Amen. I'm telling you, it's almost like the first step that He starts showing up. But we have to take the step. We have to walk with Him and serve Him. And just for a moment, if you bow your head and close your eyes with me. If you're here this morning and you're not sure if God loves you, you might know it intellectually. You know it in your mind that that's at least what it says in His Word. But you don't feel it. You don't feel confident that He loves you. And you'd like the assurance that He does. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, I'd love to pray for you. Would you lift your hand and say, that's me? Okay, good. Anybody else? Good. So, Lord, You see these hands, and we're asking that You would assure them. But not assuring them in a false sense, but assuring them in that You would come in and give them the ability to walk in Your Spirit, to walk according to Your Word. That You would help them to know that anytime they fall again, that the answer is just get right back up and keep going. And help them to know that when they do that, when they get back up, help them to know that You love them the same when they obeyed and when they didn't. You love them because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So help them to have that assurance. Help all of us, Lord, loved by You. Of knowing the sensation of being loved by You. And help us to demonstrate our love to You back. Help us to serve You. Help us to obey You. Help us to seek You. Help us to do that. We thank You for what You're doing, Lord, and we ask You to continue to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.